Let's talk a little bit first about 2018. What will stay the same?
Look, I think when we think about 2017, I think, you know, many people, when we came into the year, thought the Fed was going to be tightening, thought the U.S. dollar was going to be stronger, and we got quite the opposite. What will stay the same is the momentum in the global economy. I think that we continue to see global GDP growth, you know, sustaining at levels much closer to 4% than to 3%. But I think that's going to be one of the things that does stay the same.
Facebook rolled out a Messenger Kid app for children under 13 on Monday. The app allows the social media giant, which already has over 2 billion users, to expand into an untapped market. Facebook normally requires users to be at least 13 years old. The standalone app on children's devices can be controlled by a parent's Facebook account, and kids can use video chat, send photos, videos, or text messages to friends approved by their parents.
If people want to have a quiet conversation, they can do so. This is not a quiet conversation. So somebody is making it known that they're in motion, and it seems to me that the Murdochs are making it known that they're ready to go do something, and they're inviting, whether it's Comcast or Disney or others, to come forth. They clearly think that this is an appropriate moment for them to do it.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's December 5th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. We are very glad you're with us this morning here on The Opening Bell for our Tuesday edition. Another business day is underway. Lots going on in the show today. D.L. Buss will be here a little bit later on from Michigan to talk about the auto industry in 2017, a year in review, if you will. We'll look at some of this year's trends and what may be ahead for next year. Again, D.L. Buss in our second segment. And coming up momentarily, we will bring in our first guest, who has some connections to the North Pole and Old St. Nick. We'll not spoil it for you. That'll be just in a minute or so. But first, here on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street later this morning, maybe even a negative open for the NASDAQ, which is off about 27 points. The Dow is up 24. Those futures up 24. S&P futures are flat this morning. Around the globe, the FTSE in London is down just a fraction. Everything else is lower as well. The DAX in Germany is down almost more than a half a percent, 88 points there. In Asia this morning, markets are generally lower as well, with the Hang Seng off almost a full percent, 295 points. The Nikkei off about 84 points, 85 points, which is about a third this morning. And crude oil is at 57.17 a barrel, and that's down about 28 cents or about a half a percent. Some stories that we're watching for you this morning. Top lawmakers and the White House say that President Trump and congressional leaders have scheduled a summit to begin sorting out their budget differences. The statement comes amid a clash that could produce a partial government shutdown by the weekend. The meeting is set for Thursday at the White House, comes just a day before federal spending expires that is needed to keep agencies functioning before beyond midnight on Friday night, complicating the search for a pact. Our disputes over immigration, health care, and other issues folded into the year-end mix. You heard in the opening montage, Facebook coming for your kids, in a way of speaking. Social media giant launching a messaging app for children to chat with their parents and friends, approved by their parents. And the cruise industry has dodged a tax increase after Alaska's U.S. senators helped strike the provision from the tax bill passed by the GOP in the Senate. The bill approved early on Saturday, overnight on Friday, includes other provisions that Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, the two senators there, hailed as significant for Alaskans, including oil and gas drilling on the coastal plain and also for the cruise industry that a lot of those cruise ships dock in Alaska. Have you ever wondered if there is a union for all of the Santa's helpers around the globe who you see in shopping centers and other places at this time of the year? The answer is yes, there is. It's called, one of them at least, is called the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas. And one of Santa's helpers is with us this morning, Owen Davenport. He's the regional board representative for the group. Owen, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
So tell me a little bit about your association. Why does it exist, and what do you do?
Okay, we are a group of Santas around the world. We take rubber Santas, Mrs. Clauses, elves, and their helpers. And we're a group. We get together. We meet once a month on Skype. And we try to make things better for the Santa Clauses. And we have a convention coming up in Denver in April of next year. And, we're just trying to improve things for Santa Claus.
Well, this is obviously your busy time of the year, and I have to tell you, the photographs of your members are just amazing. I think if we imagine the boss up at the North Pole, you all of you look a whole lot like him.
Yes, we do. We're all ambassadors for Santa.
And so I'm guessing there comes with that sort of a lot of responsibility, doesn't there? Does your organization, do you have like a code of ethics, and do you have rules and regulations for all of the Santa's helpers to follow?
Yes, we have we have bylaws for our group, and we have to go by those. We go out through a background check. We have insurance. Make sure we don't handle child molesters or sex crimes against anybody. You know, we make sure everybody's on the up and up.
Let's talk, Owen, a little bit about the business of all of this. I mentioned this is the busy time of year, I'm guessing. I guess it is the busy time of year. And what kind of money are we talking about? How much of the industry are we talking about here?
Well, myself, I work in the mall here in Savannah, Georgia right now. And this year, we've seen a major increase of people's shopping power and come to the mall buying pictures and stuff. So I've seen a lot. I've seen a big increase this year.
People taking photographs, and also I'm guessing you appear at public events and that sort of thing. And so an association is important because it sort of gives you a sense of what everybody's doing around the country and what the business conditions are like everywhere, right?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about how you came to be in this organization, how you decided to become a helper of Santa Claus. Was it just, did the look come first, or did the idea, the twinkle in the eye, come first?
The idea came first. I've been doing Santa Claus for 22 years now. I used to work for the Department of Corrections in Indiana, and quit my job there. And one day I seen there was an ad for a Santa Claus in a local store in Terre Haute where I live at. I thought I'd apply for it, and I did, and it's been with it ever since. It's not about the money, it's what's in the heart. It's just the love being around children and bringing a smile to their face.
It is sort of magical. I know that's sort of the season for children, and I'm kind of jealous of you because I bet you get to see quite a wide mix of little faces, don't you?
Oh, you sure do. I mean, you see, I've had a youngest I've had so far is 3 weeks old, all the way up to 90.
90. That's great. I'm wondering, do you keep track of how many people sit on your lap over the years, over those 22 years?
I wish I did, but no, I don't.
It would have to be
mind-boggling to think about it.
It would have to be in the tens of thousands, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Owen, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to continue with Owen Davenport this morning. We're talking about the business of Santa, the regional board representative of the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, telecom stocks, banks, and other sectors jumped. Technology stocks slumped on Monday. The Dow Jones gained 58 points to close at a record 24,290. The NASDAQ Composite lost 72 points. The S&P 500 fell 2.75. Lawmakers are moving to thwart so-called toy bots that threaten to spoil some kids' Christmases. These sophisticated computer programs go online and buy out popular toys, forcing parents to purchase them from third-party sites, typically at inflated prices. McDonald's is bringing back its dollar menu next month after a two-year absence. The fast food giant dumped the original dollar menu after franchisees complained that their profits were being squeezed. And you'll soon be able to place your fast food order even faster. General Motors today will roll out a new feature that lets drivers buy coffee, find gas, and make restaurant reservations with a touch of the dashboard. General Motors calls the feature Marketplace. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:23. We're on this morning with Owen Davenport, who's a regional board representative of the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas. Oh, and I'm curious, when you guys get together, when all of the members of your groups get together, what's that like?
It is great. You should see the look of people's eyes when they see us all walking to the room or walking down the street. I mean, it's just fantastic.
What would, if you could explain sort of a gathering for us, what kinds of things do you do there? What kinds of things do you talk about?
We talk about, ethics, our lives, what we want to do, how we want to improve our lives with Santa. When we get together, we've had parades and we've had luncheons. It's just a lot of fun.
Part of this that I think is fascinating is that there are some serious discussions that happen at your meetings as well, I would imagine, with all the way from how you interact with people to what you're wearing, right?
Oh, yeah. We try to look at the best we can. You know, most of the Santas have, expensive, costumes. And they're nice. Get our costumes like our Dales of Hollywood. Some of them custom made. It's anywhere from $600 to thousands of dollars for the suits. We keep our beards looking nice. And we have classes on how to get our beards bleached and how to keep them styled properly. It's just stuff we try to do to make us all look better and make the children happy.
When we found you on found the group's website, there was a little twinkle in our eye when we saw that you have actually an oath that you take and a group of tenets, bullet points of tenets that are out there. The most important of them is to preserve the magic, Christmas magic, in the hearts of children. Talk to me about more of your tenets and what the Santa Claus oath is.
The Santa Claus oath came about several years ago. There was some, called the Santa Wars. We had some problems with some Santas, and there was a lot of fighting, backbiting. So Bill Wentz, from up in the Chicago area, he wrote the Santa Oath. And then in Gatlinburg of that year after he wrote it, we all took the oath together and signed it. And the oath is signed, by every Santa, as a group function every year. And the oath's kept down in Santa Claus, Indiana, at the Candy Castle. It's preserved down there.
That would be sort of the southern, I'm guessing, the southern White House for Santa, right? Because he was up in the North Pole most of the year. Talk to me a little bit about how you interact with each other. You mentioned there that sometimes there are a little bit of friction. How do you expel a Santa from your organization?
We've never really expelled one that I know of myself right now. What the backbiting was started all this was we had a convention, and some certain Santas didn't want to go with the way things were going, and they started trying to be king for king for life or something, and it just didn't work. So the new group was formed, iBurbs, which is what we call ourselves, we just have to rule our bylaws and tenants, and everybody works great together. Yeah. Our group started out with 300 people. We've gone over to 1,800 Santas now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you have members all around the country, and there are even global organizations for the Santas.
Yes, we have all over the world. We have Santa Charlotte, from here in the United States. We have Denmark. They're all over the world. Yeah. It's great.
This is maybe a question you may not want to answer, but I'll ask it anyway. What would you tell parents about talking to children about Santa Claus? How do we keep the magic going?
It's hard to keep the magic going. Once they get around 7, 8 years old, all the friends at school start telling, Santa's not real, Santa's not real. Let the kids believe as long as they want to believe. Get the magic. It's about the magic. I've got kids come to me now, 19 years old, still sort of believe a little bit. That's the fun part about it, is just keeping the magic alive.
It's sort of the spirit of the holiday, isn't it? It's not necessarily something you physically have to see or believe, but it's just a nice thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We need that.
Okay, Owen, here's the big one. Do you have a ho ho ho, and would you share it with us?
Sure. Ho ho ho. Merry Christmas.
That's awesome. Owen, thank you for being with us this morning, and all the best to you and all the rest of Santa's helpers this Christmas season. Have a good season.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Owen Davenport, who is with the Regional Board of Representatives for the International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas. And Owen is from Indiana, so not very far away from Chicago this morning. And by the way, you can learn more about the organization at ibrbsantas.org. That's ibrbsantas.org.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Disney has sued Oak Brook Terrace-based Redbox, claiming that the DVD rental company is not allowed to sell digital copies of its movies. Last month, Redbox began letting users download copies of Disney movies such as Cars 3 and the Star Wars' The Force Awakens. Disney is seeking an injunction to stop Redbox from selling digital codes to its pictures. CBOE said it will start trading Bitcoin futures on December 10th after getting the go-ahead from regulators. That's more than a week before its Chicago rival CME Group, which said its contracts will begin December 18th. And Facebook has launched a new Messenger tool called Messenger Kids that's aimed at children ages 6 to 12. The app lets children text and video chat and gives parents control over who their kids can talk to online. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 540 here on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Glad you're here with us. We thought we'd take a segment here to talk about the auto industry from 2017. Dale Buss is a contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine and is with us this morning from Michigan. Dale, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Great.
Good to talk with you again. First, let's talk a little bit about how the year is going to end up for the auto industry in terms of sales. So what do the numbers look like?
Well, 15 and 16 were high watermark for the industry. 17.5 million sales, I think, last year. That was a record. This year, it looks like the total may come in closer to 17 million sales in the U.S. But the industry is not despairing, and Wall Street really isn't either, because for several reasons, they're looking at auto sales as a positive these days, even though they're declining a little bit. I mean, it used to be that auto sales were the leading indicator or a leading indicator for the economy. It's just not the case anymore. I guess you'd probably have to look at smartphone sales, or something like that as perhaps a more important indicator of where the economy is going. So the industry really is feeling pretty comfortable right now with where things are at. We can get into a little bit of the reasons for that.
Yeah, let's do that. I know the last time we had talked, the SUV sales were going down, but the car sales were strong. Is that going to be one of the top stories of the year, do you think, or no?
Well, actually, you got it switched around.
Oh, okay, sorry.
SUV sales are booming, and that is one huge reason that the industry is feeling in the pink these days. 3-4 years ago, about 40% of sales were SUVs and crossover vehicles. Now it's 60%. And the reason that that's a net positive for the industry is that the industry makes much bigger profits on SUVs, crossovers, and especially pickup trucks, because they're much larger vehicles. They can get much bigger markups for them. So now you've got an industry that's closing in on 2/3 SUVs and light trucks, and only about 1/3 sedans. And so that means that even though, say, GM, Ford, and Chrysler have a smaller overall share of the market than a few years ago, it's down to about 44%, their profitability is just fine, thank you, because they're selling so many of these vehicles. And as we see the economy kind of shifting gears from, 8 years of gradual, very, very gradual increase to a more robust setting now, the industry is saying, well, overall sales are down, but our profitability is going to be just fine as long as gas prices remain, reasonable, and we can sell these more profitable vehicles.
Is there one of the companies that's doing better than another? Or is there one that's sort of the trendsetter in this area?
Well, every company, fortunately, has kind of figured it out over the last few years that they needed to flip more toward SUV sales. There are some notable winners in this whole thing. Subaru, which has always been known for little four-wheel drive SUVs, has gone from about just 2% of the market a few years ago to now it's 4%, and they just introduced a new seven-seat SUV that's going to be made down the road from you folks in Indiana. So they're an example of a big winner. An example of a loser would be Cadillac, which has been known for good products for several years, but unfortunately, Cadillac mostly sells sedans. They've got the big Escalade and another one called the XT5, but they're really short on sedans, so Cadillac sales in the U.S. have been lagging pretty badly lately.
I know you were writing about Cadillac recently, about their subscription service. What does that tell you about people wanting to have those luxury type vehicles?
Well, the luxury end, there's always been a little bit of a disconnect, or at times there has been a disconnect between luxury sales in the auto market and the general market. This time around, those two segments are pretty well in sync as the economy continues to strengthen. Luxury sales are very strong. So, you've got an annual competition here going on between Mercedes-Benz and BMW to see who's going to be the top seller in the U.S. in luxury sales. And it looks like it's going to be Mercedes-Benz again this year. I mean, interestingly, you mentioned Book by Cadillac, which is a subscription service. Basically, you say you pay, now it's $1,800 a month. If you're in New York, L.A., or Dallas, where they're experimenting with this, you get pretty much any Cadillac you want whenever you want it, and you can switch when you want, and they're detailed, they're clean, they're gassed up, they're delivered. So that's like an early experiment really in the future of the industry, which is going to be a lot of ride sharing, eventually autonomous driving, where ownership per se is not necessarily emphasized, but more convenience and the service aspects of having an automobile. So in that sense, Cadillac and the whole luxury segment is kind of a precursor for more of what we're going to see ahead.
Yeah, and that there was something appealing about that. If you don't have necessarily the pocketbook to afford, the whole thing. And what I thought was interesting about your story is all the other car companies that are thinking about doing it, including Porsche.
Yeah, Porsche is experimenting. Volvo has announced that it is also going to conduct an experiment in a subscription service. Lincoln the other day just announced it's going to do something similar, although part of their appeal is that the price is going to be much less than what Cadillac is charging. So, you're seeing in this area just so much experimentation, because here's the thing, we were talking about sales generally. Used to be that the industry would be looking at a big cyclical decline right about now. Maybe sales would go down 20-25% as the economy eased. But really, the future of the industry now, and the winners and losers, and what really happens to sales levels, is going to be determined by autonomous driving, by mobility services like subscriptions, because the industry is pretty quickly switching to that basis. So it'll be really interesting to see how that affects the long-term sales trend in the next 5 to 10 years.
What would you say, Dale, is another one of the big headlines that's going to be written about 2017 in the auto industry?
Wow. Well, here's one thing that definitely is going to be happening. It's going to be the year of the big SUV. It used to be if you wanted a big SUV, you had to get a Chevy Suburban or something like that. But now, practically every automaker now is coming out with a truly large three-row SUV. Subaru is doing so, and the brands that don't have them already are coming out with them. Volkswagen has a new SUV called the Atlas, which is, again, three rows, huge. And I think that's, if they can get those kinds of vehicles out there to continue to drive sales, they're high profit. And they'll continue to kind of make up for the fact that the overall sales level next year is expected to He's off to probably somewhere under $17 million.
I saw one, you know, everybody's putting together their visions and trends for future trends, perhaps. I saw one that suggested that maybe some of these big SUVs, maybe even some cars, too, would start turning around some of the front seats to face the rear as we start thinking more about the autonomous vehicle, not necessarily the driver's seat. But,
Yeah,
that's kind of a cool idea.
Well, right, absolutely. I mean, you're seeing, you've already seen at auto shows over the last few years, concept vehicles where exactly that kind of thing happens. The front seats turn around. The back seats maybe have footrests. You can kind of set up a little meeting area inside the car. And, of course, the larger the vehicle, the more flexibility and freedom that the automaker has to arrange these inside spaces. But absolutely. I mean, as you see autonomous driving take off, the emphasis is going to be not as much on performance, horsepower, torque, all that stuff. It's going to be on, hey, you know, what do you got on that snack cart in the middle of your SUV that you don't have to pay attention to because it's driving itself? So, yeah, it'll be a fascinating future. I'm sure you'll see, you know, home decor brands teaming up with automakers to, you know, produce their own vehicles, just like you used to see, like an outdoors brand like Eddie Bauer used to have a version of a Ford SUV. I can see IKEA. You know, the Ford IKEA self-driven 150, who knows?
Right.
The possibilities are endless.
And, you know, I know we've talked a lot about Tesla over the past year. It seems that their year seems to be muted. Is that a fair way to describe it? I mean, I know they're still having a little bit of production problems or whatever, but how was Tesla's year?
Well, Tesla's year has been very, very shaky and just very strange. I mean, it's been a year of huge anticipation because of the debut of the Model 3, which is their affordable electric vehicle, as it's been described, to compete with the Chevrolet Bolt, which is already out there. So there's been huge excitement, and there's about 400,000 to 500,000 people who've already put down a $1,000 deposit saying, I want a Model 3 when it's available. And finally, at the LA Auto Show this week, people can see what their Model 3 is actually going to look like. But that's the problem. Elon Musk and Tesla can't get these vehicles produced. They're new to making autos. You know, Musk has been very arrogant about the fact that he doesn't need traditional auto people to help him. They'll figure it out. Thank you. So the problem has been they just haven't been able to produce many of these Model 3s, you know, really just several hundred so far. And there are just report after report out of the factory in California of difficulties with, you know, the idea of making cars. And so it's going to be till sometime next year before the Model 3 is produced in any volume. And frankly, this kind of is the thing that may cut Tesla's share price at some point, because investors are just going to maybe start to run out of patience. They need to get the blocking and tackling of making cars down, as well as the excitement factor.
Well, Dale, always good to talk with you. If we don't talk with you again before the holiday, have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year.
Likewise, and thank you, Steve.
All right, Dale. Dale Buss, a contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine. We're going to link out to his recent stories on some of these auto industry trends. You can also follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, looks like we're headed for a mixed opening on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 44 points. NASDAQ futures are down about 25 now, and S&P futures are flat. The latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The markets yesterday went two ways. Cash cattle prices dropped to 4.5-month lows yesterday at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, concerned over cash cattle prices. Also, live hogs yesterday saw the market move mostly higher. December lean hogs ended 32 cents higher at $64.95 a hundredweight. Turning to the grain market yesterday, the soybean futures hit a three-week high, and soy meal jumped more than 2% on buying, backed by concerns that dry weather in Argentina will hurt crop yields. Corn futures fell more than 1%, reversing early gains. And as we take a look at yesterday's Arizona Agricultural Roundtable, about 300 agricultural leaders representing everything from cotton to cattle to lettuce and other alfalfa products all came to the forefront in the discussion yesterday involving 300 people. And the number one concern, stated very well by one Arizona producer who said, it's not the immigration law, it's labor and the lack of labor at critical times that we need it. Second biggest concern I heard expressed yesterday was the farm bill and where will it go and will it continue to have crop insurance. Had a great time with a lot of Arizona producers. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. And on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook today, a couple of these reports that could impact the markets. International trade in goods and services for October coming out this morning. Third quarter retail trade financial report also being released. ISM non-manufacturing report for November. And the Senate Banking Committee will vote on Jerome Powell to be the next Federal Reserve Chairman today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, it's November 5th.